Hi, I'm Pastor Josh, and I want to welcome you to the Catalyst Podcast and thank you for listening. I hope these messages from our teaching team will help point you to Jesus as we seek to help everyone love God, love people, and make disciples.
Amen. Go ahead and clap as if our God is great this morning. Have a seat. It is good to be here with you as Ann grabs her shoes and gets off the platform. Of course, thanks to the worship team and our worship ministry here this morning who led us. I'm so grateful for them. And it is good to see you all. It is good to be here. As Ann mentioned, we are in a kind of quick series to launch the year about our mission and who we are and who we're trying to be and who we're trying to become and what we're trying to do as a church this morning. So I just want to introduce you to it. We're going to keep moving because we got some cool things, I think, happening here in a few moments, some cool stories to share. But here's our mission. If you're new with us this morning, this is a great morning to be with us. These next couple weeks are a great time to be with us because we are trying to, like I said, express who we are and who we want to become. Our mission as a church is we want to love God, we want to love people, we want to make disciples of Jesus. This morning, I want to be talking to you about what it means to love people. We want to be a church that loves people. We define loving people in this way, by imitating Jesus and becoming like Jesus. It means that we will live intentional lives of inviting the lost, the hurt, the isolated, and the broken to receive hope and care. If you were here last week, one of the things that you heard me talk about is a core value of ours is to be biblically serious. So I want to jump into the text here. And I want us to look at what Jesus has to say about some of this when he is confronted by a lawyer. And to be honest, I want us to see one of the reasons that this is actually our mission as a church. I told you last week that our mission is really simple. I wish I were more creative. Some of you are creatives. I am not. Unfortunately, I'm kind of like a doer, and I'm kind of simple, probably in the worst way. Not very smart, but here's the text that we get part of our mission statement from the Great Commandment here, and this is what's going on. A lawyer is going to come up, an expert in the religious law is going to come up, and they're going to ask Jesus a question. They're going to put him into the test, and he's going to ask him, hey, what's the greatest thing that we can be doing? What is the thing that we should be doing? And you're going to see how Jesus answers here, and I'm going to share with you the story of the Good Samaritan and Jesus' response to him. So if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke this morning. I want you to see Luke. Last week we were in Matthew. Because you see something similar happening in Matthew, but Jesus doesn't tell the story of the Good Samaritan in Matthew. And there is a difference that I'm going to point out here. So follow along closely. It says, one day, an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do? Now, I want to stop there, and I just want you to see this real quick. He's asking Jesus what he should do. He's not asking Jesus what he should believe. He's not asking Jesus what he should say, what he should think, or where he should join, like what church he should join. None of that. He's asking Jesus here, what should I do? The doing here is emphasized in this question, and even Jesus' answer, to inherit eternal life. Now, real quickly, I don't have time to unpack this morning, but the question isn't necessarily aimed at what happens to us when we die here. If you were to look at the Greek and take this into the context of the actual story here, the question being asked is actually, what must I do to live a kingdom lifestyle? What must I do to live as God would have me to do, not just in the future and reward me in a particular way in the future, but what must I do to live with God and for God in this moment? That's the context, even this eternal life. When does eternity start, right, for all of us? Or I guess, when should it continue? Like now. It's not just some future thing that we're waiting on here. And that's the context behind the question here. Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say, and how do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all your mind. And, if you have your Bible, circle that. And. Here, I want you to see that the second commandment is not going to be subordinated to the first. So last week, if you look at Matthew, and even if you look at Mark, right, it says the first and the greatest commandment is to do what? Love God. The second commandment is to love people. Here, what we see, and I think Luke does this intentionally, is he wants to get us thinking this, that if we're going to love God, the response then, or the fruit of loving God is going to be loving people. Like, if you're going to love God, you're going to love God and you're going to love people. And to be careful not to separate those two too much. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told them. Here it is again. Do this and you will live. So Jesus emphatically answers him in that way. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In other words, who do I have to love? We've all asked that question before. That's why we're laughing, right? It's a good question. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho and was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and they left him half dead on the road. By chance, a priest came along, Pastor Josh came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over, Pastor Nate came by afterwards, and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. And so what I want you to see quickly here, we're moving through this quickly, is that the two men, because I'm sure you've heard this preached 1,000 times if you've been in the church. If not, that's okay. But the two men actually are going from Jerusalem to Jericho. They're not going from Jericho to Jerusalem. And so they actually just left church. Some people have taught, like, well, they were going to do a church service or whatever and didn't want to be ritually unclean. Well, the context actually seems like it's the opposite. They just came from church, yet they were leaving church, and they were going to go do something else. And we don't know what. I'm sure they had other responsibilities, obligations, all of those sorts of things. But yet they're able to pass by this guy without doing anything. Then a despised Samaritan, a pastor from PCC, maybe Devin. No, I'm just joking. We love our other churches, the other pastors in the community. Came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey, and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If this bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. So we clearly see the Samaritan sees the man in the ditch. He has compassion on him. And then what he does is he takes time to take his own money. He sacrifices his time to help the man. And so what we see is clearly a devotion and sacrifice to the man in the ditch who is harmed and hurting. Now Jesus is going to ask the lawyer a question. Now, which of these three would you say was the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. In other words, who loved this man? The man replied, the one who showed mercy. Then Jesus said, here it is again, yes, now go and do the same. So what we see here in the Good Samaritan is that we don't really see Jesus answer, like, who to love. We just see him simply saying that you must love. You must go and love other people. And doing that means that there's action involved. Yes, there's compassion. We see that the Samaritan actually has compassion on the person in the ditch, but the compassion leads to action here. It leads to the doing. And the reason I'm sharing this with you this morning is because this is the kind of church that we want to be. We want to be a church of action. We want to be a church of compassion. We want to sincerely care and love other people, but we don't want our words to be empty. We want to develop into the type of people who, when we feel compassion or we feel our hearts being tugged in a certain direction or being led by God, that then we are compelled to action. And so this morning, what I'm doing is I'm inviting 2 people up here who I believe love God and are men of action. And they're going to share a little bit of a story with you about kind of how they have coordinated a new thing that they've got going on and that they believe God leading them into. And then we got a few other things for you too this morning. So I'm going to ask if Mike Barker and Gene Fletcher would come up here and share with us this morning and kind of speak into this story a little bit.
All right, good morning, Catalyst.
Good morning.
I gotta say, we love it here. We love the pastors, we love the leadership team. Aren't these worship teams awesome? And
Normally, I'd like to go on about how welcome you made us feel, but they gave me a time limit. But I do appreciate being here. And I just want to share with you why we're here. If you look at that first slide, I think that's up there, you'll see our church that we were a part of for over 20 years at this location, a little bit longer than that with the people. This was a church that was donated to us over 20 years ago now. It needed a lot of work, a lot of effort, and I'm not going to spend the time to tell you all the things we had to do, but there were some folks that donated over 1,000 hours of service that first year, just getting it ready so that we could worship there. So there was a lot of activity, a lot of stuff that needed fixed and fixed up to where we could even get it going. Our church, when it started, we had a good mix of people. We had three little rolls of little old ladies that wore their red hats once a month or so. And we had a good group of young people. You can see the picture there of one of our youth group's pictures. That was from roughly 10 years ago or so. And we had a good mix and a good group and people that loved the Lord and worked together. We ran a volleyball league in Anderson. We had different activities. But as time went on, some of our folks that were older went to be with the Lord. Some younger families got promotions and different things out of state. And a lot of those were not replaced. So the congregation began to go down. As it went down, in the next slide, you'll see that's a picture of our grandson painting the gym this summer, actually. But as time went on, the youth took over more and more of the maintenance of the building. Tila taught them how to clean the bathrooms, how to paint. We taught them how to paint. We rebuilt a shed. We kept the weeds pulled. And if the kids would donate 50 hours of service doing that sort of thing, we would take them on a trip every year. Around the 4th of July, we were gone every year. And we kept our youth involved physically, hopefully spiritually, but they kind of took over a lot of that role. As the church time continued to go on, the next slide shows a picture of a group of kids at outside the Vanderbilt room in the Waldorf Astoria in New York City. No, we didn't stay there, but we did sneak in for a few minutes and let the kids see it. Actually, we did get a great deal on the Times Square Marriott, so we got to stay right there. The hotel worked with us and gave us a really good deal on the rooms. But we did various trips. We went to Cedar Point one year, took a trip, side trip that year, took some of the kids walleye fishing on Lake Erie, and then we went up to Niagara Falls. We went to North and South Carolina. We went to D.C. two or three times. We went to Chicago. We went to Philadelphia. We went to New York a few times. And the kids enjoyed that. They worked hard for it. And we got to spend and pour some time into their lives. As time continued on, the youth programs kind of stabilized. At some points, we were running 50 kids on Wednesday night. That kind of eventually settled down to about 30 kids each Wednesday, and stayed pretty consistent, even as the church overall continued to go down on Sunday morning attendance. I don't know if I said this earlier, but we started with about 80 people, probably had 150 people that said that was their home church, but on any given Sunday. But as time went on, it got lower and lower. In 2019, the next slide shows that it's 2018, but Tila corrected me yesterday. She said this is actually 2019. We took our last youth trip. In 2019, things seemed to be on the upswing for the church. We had some new families come in. There was a sense of excitement. We had formed some committees to try to develop some outreach programs, and things seemed to be going better. And I was optimistic that we were going to be able to survive. And then on the next slide, you'll see that COVID hit. And we know what COVID did to a lot of churches. And our church, unfortunately, was no exception. In the beginning of 2021, our pastor's wife died relatively unexpectedly, not from COVID, but for something else. Later that same year, our worship leader died. And that was very unexpected. Now, I will tell you that, you know, here Dr. Varner can go on sabbatical for 2 months, and you guys don't miss a beat, right? I mean, it's just awesome. There, it was getting down to where I was probably next in line to be worship leader. Let me just tell you, I can imagine if somehow you guys heard me saying, if you were here a few weeks ago, you heard, I guess Josh got left on mic. And Susan Lucas said, he's not the worst I've ever heard. Well, if you guys heard me, she could say, I told you there was somebody worse. So anyway, in 2019, things seemed to be going uphill. We had raised, in 2020, we raised $30,000 in a few weeks to put a new roof on our gymnasium and new insulation. We had raised money to put a new roof on the church. COVID really kind of destroyed that momentum for whatever reason, and a decision was made at the end of 2021 to close. That was a tough decision. We had invested, when we first started, we'd raised $100,000 that first year. We borrowed another $150,000 to continue the work. And we had decades, people had decades of service. The kids we'd watched grow up there, some of them are actually here today. It was a tough decision. And we really wanted the building to continue to be used. I was reading this week, there's 5,000 churches, they think, that close every year in America. That's a staggering number. And they don't know for sure if that's right, but somewhere around there. But as we thought about that, and I read this week, I had really not, this hadn't entered my mind. It should have, but it didn't. A lot of these buildings that get closed become eyesores in the community. And we didn't want that. We worked out there all year, kept it mowed, cleaned up, tried to keep the weeds pulled, and did other maintenance. And we prayed about what can we do. Well, we talked to some other, to the denomination that had it prior to us. They said, hey, would you like your building back to start something else here? No interest. We talked to some church startups that were renting space. No interest. So we started coming here in April, and I asked Josh about it, and then Nate and I toured the facility. And after Nate was there, he came back and brought Josh and Gene. And we began to talk to Gene about his ministry and how he was outgrowing his current space. And we'd always had a strong focus on kids. And as we went through this process, it seemed like God was opening the door for us to transition to a different ministry. And we had board meetings later in September. The rest of the board and I met with Gene at his facility. And from there we went out the door. He had prepared a PowerPoint for us with his visions for what he could see happening there. We got to see the interaction with the kids. We saw his Bible verses up across his existing facility and the impact he was having on kids in the community. And we left that meeting, walked out in the parking lot, convened a board meeting, and voted to donate the property to Gene and his ministry, the Combat. I'm going to turn this over to Gene, and he's going to share with you what he sees happening there in the future. Yeah.
I'll give you a hug up here. Thank you, man. Generosity on a level that is nothing short of a miracle. I think you would agree with that. If I didn't get a chance to meet you when I served as a youth pastor here, My name is Gene, and I serve not only as the executive director and founder of Combat Ministries, but Catalyst still lets me have a good time with the student ministries as well. And I just wanted to take a minute. Can we, like, highlight our youth that, like, they're here worshiping, and they could be other places. I just want to show them some love real quick. Austin's doing a great job with them. So if this is your first time hearing about Combat Ministries, you might be experiencing a common kind of like twitch in your soul when you hear the word combat and the word ministries and you put it together. And I know that the Netflix series Cobra Kai is very popular. Has anybody ever heard of that? We are not some kind of weird breed of Cobra Kai and Eagle Fang. It's nothing like that. It's a ministry that really embraces that when you walk in faith, there's battles coming your way. And so we pull together with as a larger body of believers, and we provide opportunities for people to grow in their faith and to just be around some really amazing people. Josh had asked me to give the very short version of how Combat Ministry started, and so I'm going to do my best. I'm very passionate about this, so I may end up preaching. Throw something at me, Austin, if I get too lippy, okay? In 2009, our organization started, it's called Mentoring Warriors, and what happened was fresh out of AU, I graduated with a ministry degree, and I landed at the Madison County Youth Center. Is anybody familiar with Madison County Youth Center in Anderson? So I was in a position where it was summertime, I was a part-time staff, and they needed things for the students to stay busy, because when they weren't busy, they were busy. You know what I'm saying? So I, you know, out of my passion, I raised my hand. They never brought us a chair up here, by the way, Mike. Blame Nate on that one. I raised my hand, and I didn't realize that when I raised my hand to answer that question of summer activities, my life would be forever changed. I said, hey, I love martial arts. I would like to teach these students martial arts. Well, if you know anything about the youth center, a lot of the students that are in there have been assigned by the courts because they've gone through some issues. And a lot of them were violence. And so to even have that happen was a miracle. The judge and probation, they all had to decide. Long story short, we launched a martial arts program in there. And I'm saying within a week, that house, that treatment facility, went from fights almost every other night in the dorm areas, arguments, yelling at staff. Like, it was crazy. After training for just a few days, by the end of the week, I saw a change in 12 young men that you would see on a movie like Coach Carter. Like, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. These people they say sir. Their camaraderie, their whole ethos changed. And I knew in that season, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And they told me, they said, hey, when they graduate, you can't see them anymore. And I said, no. These kids don't have a network. They don't have, what do you mean? And we're done after they have this success? No. Well, if you can find a nonprofit and they meet and you meet out there, then it's okay. Got online and I figured out how to start a nonprofit, and I'm still learning how to do it. And it was an opportunity to continue meeting with these students that, I mean, legit, they did not have healthy connections outside of there. And so through time, there's been lots of stuff. I'd love to share this story with you when Josh isn't looking at the watch. I'd love to share it. But long story short, as time has gone, the ministry has changed, and we've met a lot of people. It was around 2018, we started realizing, like, wow, God has brought some incredible people, not just crazy martial artists, like legit people who want to pour into kids through their giftings. Like, it's unbelievable. If you can meet our family out there, you would be blown away. It's just like you guys. It's incredible what God has brought together. And we started to run out of room at our facility. And so we have this thing, like, gosh, we have all this opportunity, but we're out of room. What are we going to do? It hit us that a community center would be the next step. So we started praying. The board started praying, and we were getting excited. We started looking for buildings. I almost died in two of them. You've seen properties in Anderson. It's seriously. I won't say that. Never mind. Well, right about the time we felt that that chapter was happening, COVID hit. And then, you know, we transitioned. It was just like we felt here. Like, I was serving as youth pastor here at the same time as doing that, and it was like the exact same thing was happening everywhere. We kept looking for buildings. We kept searching. Doors were closing. And then finally, we started to recover after COVID. And now, summer of 2022, we're running out of space again, and we don't have any other. We needed a miracle, because I never, ever want to say, sorry, there's no room for you. I'm a firm believer there's always room at the table. And that's when I got approached by Pastor Mike. I'm sorry, Pastor Nate, and then he got me connected with Mike. And the rest is kind of starting a new history. I asked if I could kind of plug the community center, and I got permission. So I don't have time to share the enormous vision that I feel coming from this, but there is absolutely no doubt, and you just hear in this little bit, God is weaving some things together that is going to be bigger and greater than I think I could ever imagine. And we get to be a part of that together. It is my firm belief that this miracle, this is a miracle, that this is going to be an opportunity to legit impact not only students now, but for generations to come. And I would like to invite you all to be a part of that in some way, somehow. Our website is combatministries.org. You can learn a lot more about our history and what we're about. But I want to encourage you to check that out this weekend. Check it out today before bed. I always give homework to the students, so I give homework to you all too. But check it out. And if your heart is stirred to help bring something to these students, if you ever get frustrated, like, why don't these kids learn A, B, C, D, E? Be part of the solution. Put your name in there. Let's get together and talk. And I truly believe that God is going to do even greater things than this miracle that we're experiencing right now. So I want to close with this real quick. Catalyst, you need to be so encouraged about your place of worship and your leadership. What I experienced behind the scenes on all of this, as well as all the wonderful opportunities I've had to work with all the leaders and elders here, this place is doing kingdom work. Josh and Nate, their commitment to spreading the gospel is not stuck inside of these walls. And I want to encourage you to embody that and continue to be that. And I would just like to take a moment to recognize the leadership here. There's a lot that they do behind the scenes. There's a lot that you don't see, a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot. And if we could, I would just like to give them a round of applause and thank them for all that they do.
Thank you, Mike and Jean. Part of the story that I kind of want you to hear, even just selfishly from my own end, is that Mike didn't share this. I just asked him permission because I wanted to make sure before I did. When Mike first came to us, what he said is that he had this church building and it looked like he was going to have to sell it and probably would donate most of the proceeds to our church when they did. But his original ask was, do we have a use for it? And as Pastor Nate and I got to talking and like our vision for right now, where it was located and all of those sorts of things, were like, and talking to the elders, it's like, we don't really have a use for that building. We have actually a lot of uses for the funds. We've been talking about this a little bit with you all. We're in the process of needing to remodel. You know, when you come in, it's tight in here right now. It's really tight in the lobby when you come in. Like, we're about ready to do a remodel. We need funds. We just got all this space behind here that we hadn't had because it was leased out. We need a children's wing. I don't know if a lot of you have children. If you're back there, it's super tight back there too. So we had use for the funds. Don't get me wrong, but when we were touring the space, Mike was in the gym, and he and Tila and all those youth had poured their blood, sweat, and tears into that gym there, and Mike shared he had always envisioned that place being full of kids. Like, I was praying that almost, like, the partnership with Gene wouldn't work out. seriously, because we needed it. But when we were in there, and I heard that, I'm like, this belongs to what Gene is doing, because he can fill this place full of kids. And he can help those kids in that place. And I think God gave Mike that vision. Mike might not necessarily be the one leading it in that place anymore, but God gave him that vision, and we wanted to make sure that we did what we could to help that God-given vision that was given to Mike continue on the best that we could. And so it's just a really cool thing that we got to see God do, and I think he's going to continue to do. Community is one of our core values as a church. We want to make a difference in the community. It's one of my values, even as just a pastor, as a person, as a follower of Jesus. And so I'm going to invite our director of outreach and partnerships up here too, just to share for a few moments, and then I'm going to kind of wrap things up. But yeah, come on up. But obviously, you can hear this morning is it's about doing. It's about who we want to be and what we want to do and partner with as a church. And so, Stacy, all yours. Do you want this mic, or would you rather just okay?
To use this mic.
All right.
Brad, I'm good. All right. Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to get a chance to connect with you. I'm Stacy Bowers. I am actually married to Pastor Nate. This isn't my notes, so I probably shouldn't do it. But usually when he's up here, if you've been going here for any amount of time, you know he starts every time he's on stage like this. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, or if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, I'm Pastor Nate, and I have the pleasure of, and he finishes that sentence, serving as your executive pastor here at Catalyst Church. I mutter under my breath every time, the pleasure of being married to Stacy Michelle Bowers. Yes, that's right. The pleasure's all mine, honey. The pleasure's all mine. So it's an honor to have a chance to connect with you all this morning. It's especially an honor to be on stage on the same Sunday that my dear friend Gene was sharing about his ministry. Taekwondo is a huge part of the Bowers family life for a lot of years, and all of my kids have participated in one way, shape, or form. They learned a lot on those mats about self-control, perseverance. They connected with their dad in really special ways. And importantly, they connected with Gene and Tab. And those are relationships that have been a gift to each of them in unique ways. And I'm so excited about the ways that Freedom Martial Arts and Combat Ministries is growing and about the fruit it will bear in Anderson and in all of Madison County. My role at Catalyst is to lead, or I should say one of my roles at Catalyst is to lead our partnerships and outreach team. And this morning I want to introduce you to that full team, and I also want to introduce you just super briefly to the organizations that Catalyst has chosen to support in Anderson and in Pendleton and throughout the area. We are excited to be partnering with all of you to support these organizations in 2023. So I'm just going to start by kind of rattling through them and the people who are going to be serving as the liaisons to them. The first one is Jen Harris, and Jen Harris is our liaison to Outfitters. Outfitters is a nonprofit organization in Pendleton, just right down the road, that provides new and gently used clothing free of charge to children in Madison County and surrounding areas. Outfitters is intentionally set up just like a boutique, complete with dressing rooms and mannequins and special displays so that kids can have a really wonderful shopping experience, but all at no charge to the families. The goal is to relieve the financial burden for parents and guardians by providing children with an amazing shopping experience and also the opportunity to go to school with that self-confidence that comes from having some new clothes. Each child that shops at Outfitters leaves with a week's worth of clothes, a $25 shoe voucher, and new underwear and socks. Susan Lucas is leading our partnership with the Christian Center. The Christian Center Rescue Ministries provides over a dozen life-changing services to men, women, and children throughout Madison County. These services include food, shelter, training, access to housing and better medical care, addiction recovery services, and more. All designed to create better outcomes for those they serve and for the community. Debbie Evans is keeping us in touch and connected with Children of Promise, which, if you know Debbie, makes sense because she also happens to work for Children of Promise. It is the purpose of Children of Promise, through the sponsorship of individual children, to provide them with the basic necessities to lead a healthy life marked by wholeness. Sponsorship is meant to benefit children in the areas of nutrition, education, healthcare, and Christian discipleship in partnership with Christian congregations, the international headquarters of Children of Promise, which is in Madison County, and the children's sponsors. And lastly, Carrie Bolin will be helping us support Operation Love Ministries. Operation Love Ministries connects its members to act as a collective body to address a multitude of needs within the community. With expert resources, education on best practices in service to others, and strategic development of both on-site and off-site programs, Operation Love pools resources to best meet the needs of struggling families and community members. Operation Love Ministries provides help for today and hope for tomorrow through programs and services that meet critical and urgent everyday needs, from food and clothing to financial assistance, and as well as providing resources for long-term stability like budgeting assistance, nutrition classes, and warm referrals. Debbie, Susan, Jen, Carrie, and I are committed to these organizations and to providing you opportunities to pray for them, volunteer for them, and financially support them. In fact, if you are already financially supporting Catalyst, then you are also supporting these organizations. We want you to understand the impact of those gifts, and so expect to be updated by us throughout the year on the impact of our collective support. And please also keep your eyes out for other ways to engage with these ministries. We'll keep you informed in the e-burst and on social media. We'll provide some all-church opportunities for us to lean in and volunteer with these organizations, as well as opportunities that make sense for smaller groups like perhaps your Catalyst communities. I hope you will take advantage of these opportunities to love people through these incredible organizations that are already doing such great work here in Central Indiana. Before I move on, I do want to very clearly say this. Some of you might find yourself today in need of the support provided by one or more of these organizations. Perhaps someone you love or someone you will meet soon would benefit from their services. And if that's the case, we want to help make those connections as well. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us for that purpose. There is a second part of our role related to community outreach, and this can feel a little bit of a hard left turn from the warm and fuzzy kind of work that our partner organizations are doing to the part that I'm going to talk about now, which is we're also going to plan some fun party type things in Pendleton. That's community outreach for us. We have the community Easter extravaganza is back this year. We're planning, I feel the same way, so exciting. We're also planning a movie or concert in the park at back to school time. We're participating in the community-wide homecoming parade. But we believe that these events are an opportunity to love people in our community. They're a chance for us to be simply present without an agenda beyond kindness, togetherness, and a little bit of fun. I don't have the time to give you the full scoop on all of the events on the calendar for this year, but I do want to put a special plug in for that community Easter extravaganza. If you've been at Catalyst or even in Pendleton for any amount of time, this event might be familiar to you. We haven't been able to host it for a few years because of the pandemic, but prior to that, it was really a staple of the Falls Park schedule every year. Generally, over 1,000 people attend. They enjoy egg hunts, bounce houses, face painting, games, food trucks, the whole deal, petting zoos, the whole deal. It's a really special event and a particular passion of mine, but this one takes a village, you guys. There will be many, many opportunities for you to lean in on things like donating candy, stuffing eggs, volunteering that morning. But what I'm asking today is that a few of you might consider raising your hand to help pull this off. We'll divide and conquer so that it's not a big lift for any one individual. I know I spend my entire professional life in nonstop meetings, so I promise not to add a million meetings to your schedule. But it will be a great opportunity to just dig in and do some work together and get to know a small group of people at Catalyst while we make a big impact through this incredible event. I'm gonna hover around the coffee bar after church this morning if anyone wants to chat more about it. Or if you just see me standing awkwardly and you want to help me feel less awkward, I'll take that too. You can also find my email address on the About Us page on the Catalyst website, and I'm happy to connect with you that way as well. So putting all of this on paper this morning was both a little bit daunting and also really exciting. We have such an incredible opportunity to impact our community as a church, and on behalf of Debbie, Carrie, Jen, Susan, and I, we are really excited to work with you to be the hands and feet of Jesus in Pendleton and Anderson and beyond. Thank you.
Thanks to Stacy and the entire team for helping us make sure we're staying engaged in the community. And we are just, we're doers. We want to be doers. We want to be people who are doing what Jesus would do. This morning, I kind of want to land our plane here with some reflections from MLK. It's Martin Luther King weekend. I like Martin Luther King weekend because it is the only holiday named after a preacher. A lot of people do forget that MLK was the son of a Baptist preacher and pastor. He became a Baptist preacher and pastor, and that is what he was throughout his entire life. And he's got a few different sermons relating to the Good Samaritan. And I read through a couple of them this past week while preparing, and one of them, he gets towards the end, and he talks about two different obligations that we kind of have in life. One are the enforceable obligations. These are the ones that we can promote to put in place, basically to protect those from falling into the ditch or getting robbed by the bandits on the road to Jericho. These are laws. These are organizations that we are bound to, that are, like, we can enforce these sorts of things. We can put protections on for minorities, for kids, for maybe vulnerable women, children, like all these sorts of things, men, that the things that you have to do, you're obligated to do, and we want to construct society that helps keep people out of the ditch and lifts people out of the ditch if they do happen to get into the ditch because of unforeseen circumstances or whatever might come their way. There are things that we can enforce. But then he ends with us reflecting on the unenforceable obligation of altruism. And he talks about this in the sense of, when I talk about altruism, it's how you defined it. It's how Paul defined it in Philippians 2. It is looking at the person in the ditch and not asking yourself, what will this cost me? But what will happen to this person if I do not help them out of the ditch? What will happen to the other if I don't help them, if I don't love them enough to help them out? So he calls us to this type of costly, neighborly love for others and other people. And I think that's what the Good Samaritan is doing. It's what we all should be thinking about as we reflect on the Good Samaritan. And our role, not just as a church, like, what are we doing throughout the community to help prevent people from getting in the ditch? And then when we see them in the ditch, to help lift them out of the ditch and then to help them get back on their feet. We should be thinking about those sorts of things. I'm just going to end this morning. I'm going to read the last paragraph of his sermon on the Good Samaritan, and then we're going to pray. This is what he says. He says, in our quest to make neighborly love a reality in our lives, we have not only the inspiring example of the Good Samaritan, but we have the magnanimous life of our Christ to guide us. He lived his days in persistent concern for the welfare of others. His altruism was universal, in that he saw all men as brothers. He was a neighbor to the publicans and the sinners. His altruism was willing to travel dangerous roads, and that he was willing to relinquish fame, fortune, and even life itself for the cause that he knew was right. His altruism was excessive, and that he didn't have to die on the cross. His death on Calvary will always stand as history's most magnificent expression of obedience to the unenforceable. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for Jesus. As we reflect here, we reflect on the fact that Jesus is our power that we need, and the example that we should look to as we seek to love others as you do. Help us not just to contemplate the story of the Good Samaritan or to hear these stories that we heard today and what we're doing and what others are doing, but help us to be the kind of church and the kind of individuals that are doing what we can to serve and to love others. As we go from here at this time, I pray that we would hear these words from Jesus. Go and do the same. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank all of you for being here this morning with us at Catalyst and worshiping. If this is your first time here, I would love to say hello to you, give you kind of a little gift. I'll stay, hang out over here, and got a little gift for you called Give Me 10. It won't take me 10 minutes to introduce myself and to say hello. The worship team is going to play us out as we go. God bless you all. And Stacy's going to be waiting out there for you, so don't make her stand awkwardly. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope God uses this audio to form and make disciples of Jesus. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to connect with Catalyst Church, we'd love for you to join us live and in person or online. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you can do that by going to our website at catalystpendleton.org.